New this morning, as Russian leaders prepared to meet with a U.S. delegation in Saudi Arabia to begin talks about ending the war in Ukraine, Russia launched a large-scale drone attack on Ukraine. Ukraine's Air Force said Russia sent in 176 strike drones and decoy drones overnight. Ukraine says it was able to shoot down more than 100 drones, and nearly 70 decoy drones were lost from radar without negative consequences. The military did not say if there was any damage or casualties from the attack. This marks the latest barrage in near-daily aerial attacks aimed at weakening Ukrainian defenses and degrading the country's energy infrastructure during the winter months. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio is leading the delegation that's meeting with his Russian counterpart, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, and other top Russian officials to kick off initial talks about ending the war in Ukraine. Both sides have said they're not expecting a breakthrough. The meeting is more to pave the way for a crucial gathering between President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin, possibly as early as the end of this month. Among the topics to be discussed are the possibility of the U.S. lifting sanctions against Russia and a potential meeting between Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, though Ukraine is not part of this week's talks. Neither are any European leaders at this point. Many of them met in Paris yesterday for an emergency summit hosted by French President Emmanuel Macron. In a post on X late last night, Macron said after that meeting, he spoke with President Donald Trump and Ukraine's president separately and said, "All Europeans, Americans, and Ukrainians would work together for a strong and lasting peace in Ukraine." Macron also said Europe would continue working to support Ukraine while also investing more in its own security and defense, seemingly answering repeated calls from the Trump administration for NATO allies in Europe to increase defense spending and pay its fair share. In another development, President Trump's envoy to Ukraine and Russia, Keith Kellogg, met with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen in Belgium. In a statement, the European Commission said, during that meeting, von der Leyen outlined Europe's plans to scale up defense production and spending, reinforcing both European and Ukrainian military capabilities. Von der Leyen also reiterated the European assertion that any resolution must respect Ukraine's independence, sovereignty, and territorial integrity, backed by strong security guarantees. As the world marks 500 days of war between Israel and the terror group Hamas, the families of hostages taken on October 7, 2023, gathered at Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's residence in Jerusalem, demanding the return of their loved ones. This comes as NBC News is reporting Israel is preparing to receive 6 hostages on Saturday, in addition to the bodies of 4 deceased hostages that are set to be returned from Gaza on Thursday. Once that happens, only 4 hostages would remain in Gaza of the 33 due to be released in the first phase of a ceasefire agreement between Israel and Hamas. The remaining 4 hostages are presumed dead. Hamas is expected to release their bodies to Israel next Thursday. Meanwhile, talks mediated by Qatar and Egypt continue, and reports indicate they involve Israel sending in a number of temporary housing structures into the war-ravaged Palestinian enclave. All 80 people who were on board a Delta Airlines plane that flipped over at Canada's Pearson International Airport in Toronto. Yesterday afternoon survived and are alive this morning. However, more than a dozen people were injured, some of them critically. People on board described panic as they were left hanging upside down, quote, like bats. They were able to get out of the plane and get onto the tarmac before a fire started. The plane was coming in from Minneapolis when it crashed just before 3 p.m. local time. It's not yet known what caused the crash, but there were strong winds with gusts up to 38 miles an hour and drifting snow when it happened. Air traffic control reportedly told the pilots it might be a bumpy landing. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration is helping the Transportation Safety Board of Canada investigate. This is the latest commercial aviation incident to cause unease among travelers in recent weeks. Less than 3 weeks ago, an American Airlines plane collided in midair with a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter while attempting to land at Washington, D.C.'s Reagan National Airport. 67 people died. 2 days later, a plane on a medical mission had just left the airport in northeast Philadelphia when it plunged into a neighborhood, killing all 6 people on board and 1 person on the ground. In February, a regional airline crashed into western Alaska, killing 10 people on board. Those came on the heels of two deadly passenger jets crashes in December. A crash in South Korea left 179 people dead, and an Azerbaijan Airlines accident over Kazakhstan that claimed 38 of the 67 people on board. Back here in the U.S., police in Maryland have arrested the alleged leader and a member of a cult-like group that's been tied to multiple killings, including the murder of a Border Patrol agent. Maryland State Police say 34-year-old Jack Lasota and 33-year-old Michelle Zyko are facing multiple charges, including trespassing, obstructing, and hindering, and possession of a handgun. Investigators say they're part of a group known as the Zizians, which has been tied to the killing of a U.S. Border Patrol agent in Vermont last month. Fox 45 in Baltimore is reporting the Zizians are primarily composed of transgender women who are vegans and express significant concern about artificial intelligence. They say Lasota established a network in California 5 years ago, and shortly after, their landlord was found stabbed several times and shot to death. Authorities also suspect the group was responsible for the shooting deaths of Richard and Rita Zyko in Pennsylvania. They were the parents of Michelle Zyko. In New York City, four top deputies in Mayor Eric Adams' administration have resigned in the wake of a federal order for prosecutors in New York to dismiss corruption charges against the mayor. The Department of Justice's order sparked a mass resignation of prosecutors in New York and Washington last week, including the Trump-installed acting U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York. The new resignations come as New York Governor Kathy Hochul signaled last night she may use her authority to remove Adams from office. In a statement, Hochul said, ousting Adams, a fellow Democrat, would be a, quote, serious step, but said, alleged conduct at City Hall that has been reported over the past 2 weeks is troubling and cannot be ignored. Hochul said she'll meet with key leaders in Manhattan today before issuing a decision. At a rally at a church in Brooklyn. On Monday, Adams remained defiant, saying he won't step down. On Sunday, he said he was on a mission from God. Finally, this morning, there is good news for YouTube TV's 8 million plus subscribers. Over the weekend, you might have seen some messaging that networks like CBS, CBS Sports, and Nickelodeon, among others, might be in jeopardy of going off the air due to a dispute over carriage fees with Paramount. That's the fee TV providers, such as YouTube, pay to broadcasters like Paramount to carry their programming. Well, the good news is the two sides have reached a deal that will allow YouTube TV to continue to offer Paramount channels, including Paramount Plus and Showtime. In recent years, these carriage disputes have become familiar sight with viewers who have satellite TV, such as DirecTV, seeing their favorite local news go dark, leaving just a message on the screen. Now such disputes have crossed over into streaming, but this morning, all is well between YouTube TV and Paramount.